The radio revolution is underway.
Welcome to CBC Unplugged, broadcasting once again from Studio Zero in Vancouver. Exciting with a capital X. I am Fred Lee. Now, normally I would be in the studios, but unfortunately, as I'm sure everyone is aware, we are locked out. So we are broadcasting, or podcasting, I should say. I feel so cool and hip because I can say podcasting. Out here on the beautiful streets of downtown Vancouver, and I am just tickled pink to be hanging out with my CBC peeps and getting a lot of exercise. I have to admit, these CBCers have probably got the best butts. You could bounce a quarter off them. Well, actually, probably a loony now. It's been freaking 7 weeks. And I love where I'm standing because there's these yellow tapes all around the building that says caution men working. That's what brings me down here every day. But I don't know where the men are. Where are they? Anyways, this week I am very honored to be bringing CBC Unplugged here. And we put together some of the highlights for you. As always, this little pirate program, CBC Unplugged, is proudly put together by locked out CBC Vancouver technicians, reporters, and our fabulous producers and associate producers. Where's my Ricky? I just need my Ricky and it's all good. Anyways, a huge shout out to all the friends out there on the campus and community radio stations who have been kind enough to share their airwaves with our beloved CBC listeners. And I know we have quite a few listening. So hello and hi to all of you out there. I again feel very hip that I get to hang out with these young hipsters on campus. Thank you. Much appreciated. And remember, you can now listen to us live on 88.3 FM. That's CMGV. Okay, try saying that 10 times fast, and I will. CMGV, CMGV, CMGV. Well, anyways, you get the idea. We've rigged up a transmitter, and we are broadcasting live from the picket lines. Okay, without much further ado, here's some of my CBC pals doing their best to stay connected to the community, even when they are locked out. So recently we had Car Free Day, and that was leaving our cars at home in the garages and carports and taking the public transit, the good old blue stretch limo, as I would like to call it, for all of our students who we know who take that 99B liner. How much fun was that? So here's Car Free Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, our mayor, the Honorable Larry Campbell.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the CBC workers. Welcome, everybody, to Car Free Day and the official day, official launch of One Day. The people who live and work in Gastown have taken the lead to bring this international event to Vancouver, and it's a perfect example of the spirit behind One Day. Residents and businesses doing what they can to make Vancouver the cleanest, greenest, and healthiest city in the world. And that vision of Vancouver doesn't come from City Hall. It comes from the community. People love this place, the clean air, the natural surroundings, our parks. And here's the great part. People say they're willing to do anything to keep it that way. They just want to know what they can do and where they can go for help. And that's what One Day is here to do. By cycling, walking, carpooling, or using transit to get to work one day a week. Because if each of us walked, rode our bikes, carpooled, or took transit one day each business week, that would mean a 20% reduction in emissions from commuting. And that's a big deal. I'd like to read a proclamation from the City of Vancouver, Car Free Day, whereas September 22nd is celebrated annually as International Car Free Day by 100 million people in 1,500 cities throughout the world. And whereas Car Free Day provides new and vibrant urban experiences and challenges us to become more flexible in our transportation choices and less dependent on our cars. Now, therefore, I, Larry Campbell, Mayor of the City of Vancouver, do hereby proclaim Thursday, September 22nd, 2005, as Car Free Day in the City of Vancouver over my signature and the seal of Vancouver.
Thank you. My name is Margaret Gallagher. I usually work for the CBC, but we are locked out, as you can see.
And my name is Paul Grant, ditto. Now, we got music, and we have got all kinds of music this afternoon. We've got punk, we've got country, we've got R&B, we've got jazz. Our next group is Swank. They play, well, I'm kind of calling it high-octane, low-down, hoedown country punk. Swank!
It's harvest time, the time to take a bride. Now Ma must found a girl whose fiance is dying. Mama, she's a girl for me. She reads books of poetry. She's got aloe teeth and flowing hair. And she wipes by, she's steam, yeah. Her in. She loosens my skin. I pray each night her affections I will win. I saw her, she was chopping wood. She could throw on eggs like I wish I could. Child band hips and curly skin. When she looked at me, well, I fell in. Blue, make me howl at the moon. I pray each night that we'll be millions soon. Mama, she's too good for me. She reads books of poetry. She's got all her teeth and flowing hair. She walks by, she screams the air. I walk 10 miles to bring her rigs. I walk 10 more just to see her legs. She bewitching, I'm the guy. Big city looking woman with a country style. A warmth and taste of style and grace. I pray each night that she'll take her place beside me. Won't dance soon in my front door fold. Gonna pick some flowers, drive to her door. Wear my best suit in a fancy tie. Gonna ask did you change, she'll be mine. Hail to home till we get old. To love, to go through the warmth, the damp and cold. All my trust, everything is out, man. All my faith, everything is good. But all my trust, everything is out, man. All my love's in a rabbit's foot. But all my trust, everything is out, man. All my faith, everything is good. But all my trust, everything is out, man. All my love's in a rabbit's foot.
It was at night, shadows that fight all the time. One night, could decide. Instead of just hide, or maybe I'll run, or maybe I'll slide. What can I do? Just for a while.
Big thanks to Sparrow, the lovely Sparrow.
They have three CDs out, and if you want to check out their website, brilliantly named, inflightmusic.com. Sparrow, check them out.
Next, we head out to Word on the Street, the event that CBC normally goes all out to support and even did so during this lockout. I was told we had over 1,000 people come by and sign some petitions, so thank you very much for your support. It was a great day, beautiful sunshine, the streets were packed. So let's just have a listen to some of the sounds of Word on the Street.
Thank you very much. So this quintet of brass players then from the CBC Radio Orchestra, once again, Marcus Goddard and Henry Christian playing trumpet, Brian Gaffer playing the French horn, Gordon Cherry playing trombone, Neil Nicholson bass trombone. And again, thank you very much for coming out to Word on the Street and to this presentation. I'm going to read something which pertains to music and also, although it doesn't say so specifically, to the CBC from a book called The Bachelor Brothers Bed and Breakfast Pillow Book that was published, oh, God save us, 10 years ago. The Bachelor Brothers run a bed and breakfast where people come to read books they've never made time for in their lives. One of the Bachelor Brothers is named Hector, and he has a girlfriend whose name is Altona Winkler, a name full of resonance to anybody familiar with the geography of southern Manitoba. And this is Hector talking a little bit about their romantic life. Thursday afternoons, I like to lie in bed whenever I can manage it and listen to the radio. There is always a special broadcast of organ music on Thursday afternoon. And while the feelings I harbor for organ music are only slightly more charitable than those I keep in reserve for organ meat, I am completely mad for the man who presents the program. In fact, I am so deeply moved by the unnatural passion he evinces for those shiny ranks of perforated pipes and for the hooty songs they squeeze from their constricted throats that I find myself dragged against my will into something like a fleeting fondness for the music itself. When he gets a real fever on, I am so transported beyond the trivial bounds of personal likes and dislikes that I can almost imagine a day when I'll willingly embrace the concept of, say, liver and onions, or sweetbreads. From the mighty console of the 18th century Florsheim organ in Bruges, which is ever so much more resonant and fluty, I find, especially in its upper registers, than its sister organ at the Cathedral of St. Catherine of Siena in Antwerp, that was Q. Powell Prescott with his own adaptation for pedals alone of both the Pachelbel Canon and the Albinoni Adagio. That's from an old Angel recording, sadly no longer in the catalog, and I really do hope that some record company executive might one day have the brains to dig around in the vault and find the master tape so it can be digitized and brought out on CD, hopefully with more complete liner notes than are present on the album. Something along those lines might be organized to mark the 10th anniversary of the passing away of Q. Powell Prescott, of whom so many young people now know nothing at all, apart from the rather spectacular manner of his death, which resulted in the introduction of the so-called Prescott Bill, which saw more stringent safety controls being introduced to home espresso machines. Listening to this announcer is rather like watching a geyser or a salmon run or some other force of nature. You can't credit that there was a time when it wasn't there or that it might one day disappear. His crankiness, his originality, his intelligence, his evident and unassailable belief that it somehow makes a difference, his straightforward nerve in presenting 2 hours of organ music in the middle of the afternoon, all these things make me want to sing, "Oh, come." Let us adore him.
My name is Cheryl McKay. Under normal circumstances, I'm the host of North by Northwest, heard weekend mornings, all about the arts in British Columbia. In this segment of the program, we're going to be hearing from a lot of CBC voices and voices you often hear on CBC Radio, people reading from writing they've done for a number of different publications and venues. I'd like you to welcome to our CBC stage this afternoon, Adrian Wong.
These are the adventures of Trixie Wong, or the trials and tribulations of an Asian sex pot, a dip into the world of a West Coast girl balancing the pros and con fusions of race, love, and life. Just remember, everything I tell you is true, except the stuff I made up. It's 8 o'clock sharp when I arrive at Mr. In-Between's apartment building. I call him Mr. In-Between because I think he's cool and we have fun together, but I've read the expiration date on the package and there's not much time left. On our dates, Mr. In-Between and I go almost exclusively to see movies. Since we've been dating, we've seen Howl's Moving Castle, 2046, and Lost in Translation. We like martial arts movies, too. Right now, being Asian is cool. For good reason. I mean, we've got great genes. And being half Asian is even better because I get the best of both worlds. I just wish I had inherited a bit more Confucian wisdom to offset the French-Canadian impulsiveness. Which brings me back to Mr. In-Between. Perhaps it was unwise of me to accept his invitation to watch a rare Anime Wong DVD. I thought my insistence to pay my own way made it clear that we were just strolling along Good Times Avenue, not heading towards the Big R Ranch. You know the Big R. Relationship. So it's 8:02 and I ring the bell. Long pause. He opens the door and it's dark inside. I can hear suspiciously ambient strains of sitar and catch a whiff of ylang ylang as a delicate plume of incense escapes the open door. The huge, welcoming smile he greets me with dims as he sees what I'm holding, a six-pack of Canadian and a jumbo bag of red licorice. I look at what he's holding, a bottle of plum wine. We share a moment of recognizing that we've entered a warp in the space-time continuum. We're in the same place, but on different dates. He asks me what I want to drink, holding up the beer and the bottle of plum wine. To tell the truth, I say, I'd rather have the beer. I can't stand that wine. What a relief, he says. I thought it was all about Asian stuff with you. What? Well, you only want to see movies with Asians in them and eat noodles, and every conversation just comes back down to race with you. But you like that stuff, too. I mean, the sitar, the incense, the plum wine. He says, look, I only did that because I like you and I wanted to make tonight special, but it's not really my thing. I sip my can of Canadian. And Anime Wong, all for you. Perhaps I am the one with the obsession. It's time for a radical move. Les Invasions Barbares is playing at Tinseltown. Have you seen it? 5 minutes later, we're in the car listening to the third period of the game. My giant bag of licorice is hidden in the sleeve of his coat. Good Times Avenue might be a little bit longer than I thought. Thank you.
Our next guest in the CBC Unplugged tent here this afternoon is Billet Nickerson.
When I lived in Langley, I was the employee of the month at McDonald's. And this is, for those in the radio, this is me with a heck of a lot more hair than I have now. And I think that all CBC employees are employees of the month, and they deserve a lot more than they're getting right now. Yes. Okay, well, because of the McDonald's experience, and I really couldn't write about it for a long time. There's, you know, they have, I think, of all the things that I've confessed in poetry, I think the McDonald's, it was really the hardest hump to get over. And so these next three poems are called Mick Poems. This first one is entitled No Pickle. A grown man cries in front of you after the cooks in the back put a pickle on his burger by accident for the third time that week. Sure, he said no pickle, but you can't help but think, even if you hated pickle and you asked for something without it, you get ticked off, but you wouldn't cry, not because of a pickle. That guy's not crying because of his burger. It's something else, something you hope isn't contagious, as you put your arm around him, offer to refill his Coke. You don't have to clap, because and if you don't one, then I'll feel really bad, so it's okay. this is called St. Patrick's Day. A customer screams when you explain you're out of the green syrup that make you're out of the syrup that makes the holiday shakes green. He complains about having to wait a whole year, that you've single-handedly ruined his entire family's St. Patrick's Day. How can he show his face at home with just an ordinary shake? What's so Irish about chocolate? Why not order a vanilla and get some food coloring, you suggest? Better yet, why not have your kids drink them in the dark? And I'll end on this. It's called Drive-Through. Same guy at 7 a.m. for breakfast, a little before noon for lunch, once again while you work overtime and he orders dinner. Some days he drives through a fourth time for dessert, pretends he doesn't know you. You don't know him. Thank you.
Hello, word on the street. My name is Susan McNamee. So as this lockout wears on, as you know, the NHL is back to work. Those teams are out there doing what they love to do best. This afternoon, you're going to hear from people who love the game, know the game intimately, and have lots to say about it. There are several things a hockey team needs to challenge to win the Stanley Cup. Yes, I wonder, too, why they asked me to host the hockey half hour. But, hey, we're all on a learning curve here. Strong defense and aggressive upfront play are important. But no team ever won the Cup without a tough, bulletproof guy between the pipes in their own end, a great goalie, of course. And one of those great goalies, Ken Dryden. Well, Vancouver music writer and playwright Pete McCormack has written a book about the former goalie, who you might know is now an MP. The book is called Understanding Ken. And here to read a segment from part of it is our CBC Radio Arts reporter and the host of Hot Air, Paul Grant.
Thanks very much, Susan. I love this book, and I think this book should be at least as well known as the hockey sweater. This book says so much. It's about Pee Wee hockey. I was a hockey dad for a lot of years, and our son was a goalie. So I'd like to read about... what the hell? I'm not going to read from Understanding Ken. I'm going to ask Pete McCormick to come up and read from his own book. What a surprise. Will you?
I'll give it a shot.
I marked a couple of spots.
Thanks. I didn't even know he was going to be reading from my book, so it's a shock for me, too. Anyway, this kid is a 10-year-old kid whose parents are divorcing, and it's quite traumatic for him. And he's a hockey fanatic. And I think this is a scene when this is the boy going on a little road trip to from Trail, British Columbia, to Spokane, Washington. The Pee Wee Rep team took a bus to Spokane in the United States of America. It takes about 3 hours to get down there. Except for Hockey Night in Canada and the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, the United States of America is where all the good TV comes from. You go over the border, and then you get to Colville, and things start to get a little bigger and a little brighter. A long time ago, I bought a G.I. Joe there with Kung Fu Grip. You couldn't even get Kung Fu Grip in Canada. By the time you get to Spokane, you really know you're not in Canada. Kmart is as big as a hockey arena, and they've got this announcer there just as loud as the announcer guy at the Montreal Forum, and he's telling you what to buy. On the street, you can't even see the front end of some of the cars there. That's how big they are. We saw a car with horns on the front end. It looked like a bull. They've got a sign at one of their restaurants. It's about a mile high. It's this giant boy with big overalls holding up a hamburger with a big patty and big lettuce and big cheese and big ketchup and I think onions, too. I'm not sure about the onions. They just call it Big Boy Restaurant. It's a perfect name. It makes me think of the big boy on our team, but this big boy is as tall as the smokestacks up on the hill in Trail. We ate lunch at an Arby's roast beef sandwich place, and it was pretty good. Women in the United States of America have the biggest bums in the world, especially at Arby's. You can't believe it. Guys have big guts down there, but the women's bums are bigger. As wide as the bus we drove down in, and in bright colors, pink, green, dark blue, pale blue, red, orange, yellow. Those bums are just like giant balloons squished together. I haven't seen one, but they'd have to have special toilets for those bums. I'd bet on it. When I see bums like that, I feel just like I do when someone gets a brush cut. You just want to go feel it, but you never do. Well, sometimes you do with a brush cut. There was a family who got brush cuts in school last year because of lice, even the sisters. I actually felt one of their heads, but with these bums, you can only wonder. After the game, we all got billeted out, and my billet was the big boy of their team. Not as big as our assistant captain, big boy, but big enough to know he could go mental and skate straight under the boards for no reason, and you might just be in the way. He had black glasses, and he breathed through his nose all the time like he was snoring, but he was wide awake. I think, like our big boy, his brain is too small for his head. It's not his fault. That's how big boys are. My billet's mom was super big, too, and super nice. I couldn't stop staring at her. It was pretty cool. Arms as big as my mom's thighs, and thighs as big as those hoops that the dolphins jump through at the aquarium. I'm not kidding. And she had one of those Arby's roast beef sandwich bums, too. You don't find bums like that in Canada. You can look, but you just don't. And in their big house, they had big food in a big kitchen with big Cokes. And for dinner, we had brontosaurus steaks and bright yellow corn on the cob as big as a rolling pin and mountains of mashed potatoes with golden butter and thick gravy flowing everywhere. And for dessert, we had chocolate pudding with whipped cream and angel food cake with ice cream. And then we all went into their big front room and my billet's mom sat her big bum on the big couch and we all watched a big TV. I bet if I ate 2,000 Arby's roast beef sandwiches, I still wouldn't get a bum like that. I mean, how could I? I don't have enough skin. And that night, me and her son slept in bunk beds, and I was on the top bunk, and I felt my ribs and my pigeon chest. I was wondering what it must be like to lie in bed and be that big. That's when the bedroom door opened. It was the boy's mom. She said, "Are my little men okay? Do you need a snack?" I was so full I could barely talk. I said, "No, but thanks for having me over." Her son said yes, and she brought him a bowl of Count Chocula cereal in bed. Count Chocula! At my dad's, we don't even eat breakfast, or we might have pancakes. At my mom's, you get granola or a grapefruit and hopefully just enough brown sugar to kill the taste. It's not like that in the United States of America. In the United States of America, you get Count Chocula in bed! I woke up in the night. I had to find out about how big their toilets were. I snuck upstairs and pushed open one door. It was the dad's office. It had a big oak desk, and there was a big moose head on the wall looking right at me. I jumped about 40 feet. The next door was the bathroom. I don't know if it was the bathroom the mum used, but the toilet was just the same as ours at home, about the size of a basketball hoop. The seat had a pink plastic cover. It was padded, not much. I tried it out. That's when my eyes bulged. Hanging from the shower curtain rod was the biggest pair of underwear in the history of the world. It was like a giant white flag. The elastic was wider than hockey tape. That elastic could slingshot you and a buddy all the way back across the border to Canada. I could feel my heart beating like crazy, but I stood up and touched them. I had to. They felt just like normal underwear, but I felt all funny. Then I sniffed them. I don't know why, I just did. They didn't smell like anything either, but I felt even more funny. Thank you.
Now, lest you think my CBC chums are never naughty, they did let loose, just a touch, at an event they called CBC Unplugged and live at the Media Club. There were loads of great musicians and CBC fans who came out for the event. Let's listen in, shall we?
Hello, everyone. Time for some music here at the Media Club. I'm Grant Lawrence, the usual host of CBC Radio 3. Of course, I haven't been able to do that for 6 weeks, but that's another story.
And I'm Priya Ramu, usually the host of the Drive Home show on radio called On the Coast. I have the pleasure of working with Karen Burgess. Welcome. Well, we'd like to welcome you to CBC Unplugged and Live.
And our first act tonight comes to us straight from a stint on the road. In fact, last weekend, he was in New York City. This summer, he was all over the place. He was in London, England, Berlin, Amsterdam, Dublin, and his birthplace of Sudbury.
Of course, here where his heart is. He's back home in Vancouver. We're talking about Mark Browning, well-known on the singer-songwriter circuit here in the city, driving force behind a new project called Ox. They've got a new album out. It is called Dust Bowl Revival. Just been nominated, by the way, for Outstanding Roots Recording. This is at the Western Canadian Music Awards. Congratulations, Mark. Mark Browning of Ox flying solo tonight, live and unplugged for you, for us here at CBC Unplugged. Welcome him.
Say, what you doing here in St. John's? Did you bury all of your money in that car? Hey, Amsterdam, say, that's your dog's name, is it not? How's the weather back in Vancouver? Do they still lose all the games? Hey, Abraham, say, I left mine back at the airport, and I have no money. Got no honey, no, 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 no. You still got your health, man, though your shit seems in the fan and man. Trans Am sure at Jet Sam, tell me you still got that car, yeah. Hey, Abraham Kim. You still do the snowman, snowman, They're still calling you slow and many. You still got the Trans Am. Ah, the Trans Am, yeah. The Pontiac Trans Am. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, Abraham Kim, you still do the snowman, snowman. They still call you slow and many. You still got the Trans Am. Hey, Abraham Kim, you still do the snowman, snowman. They still call you slow and many. You still got the Trans Am. Ah, the Trans Am, yeah. Pontiac Trans Am. Oh, yeah.
I'm Paul Grant, normally the host of Hot Air, and this is Lisa Christensen.
Hi, yes, I'm Lisa, and I'm usually of CBC Radio 3 when I'm not locked out. And I have to say, Paul, this is kind of fun to read from a script again. It's been a long time since I've done this. It's kind of fun to know exactly what I'm going to say next. So let me tell you all that I'm glad you could be here for tonight, a night of music in support of the Performing Arts Lodge. And now it's time to introduce our next performers.
You got a script? I didn't get a script. Yes, Lisa, they are young and sexy ones at that. I'd probably get in trouble for saying that on CBC Radio. But really, that is the name of our next act, Young and Sexy. So I better get off the stage.
And it is our pleasure to welcome them here tonight to be part of the show. A part of CBC Unplugged. They'll be playing the Unplugged set for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Young and Sexy.
From your mantle, if there is hope, it lies to you very much.
I'm Cecilia Walters, usually the voice of CBC Radio's early morning news.
And I'm Rick Clough, most of the time host of the early edition across the street at CBC. And they don't normally let us out after dark, do they?
They're smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're here now to introduce to you the next performer who's come out to support us and to help raise a little money for the Performing Arts Lodge. The Paperboys were formed in 1992 by Tom Landa. If you're wondering what kind of music they play, well, the kind of descriptions we found, Latino Celtic grass. How about country soul?
Or they play American country. But listen for yourselves. We're going to have two Paperboys here, but apparently one of them is still on his route. So we have the founding Paperboy himself. Please welcome Tom Landa.
Thank you. Roadmap wrinkled up, tucked away in the glove box, shows many miles left to go. 3 days nonstop, hope this engine doesn't give until I pass snow. I hope that I can see blue sea and palm trees. I'm a radio tuned into California. Stay down, I think I'll stay down for a while. One year gone by, can't feel anything. Constant reminder in this place. We fought with everything, for one we let her go. She kept the dignity and grace. I hope that I can see blue sea and palm trees. I'm a radio tuning to California. 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 I think I'll stay down. I think I'll stay down for a while. I hope that I can find some kind of peace of mind and the strength to start again. Top down, mission drive down to the border. I think I'll stay down. I think I'll stay down. I think I'll stay down. I think I'll stay. I think I'll stay. I think I'll stay down. I think I'll stay down for a while.
Well, thanks for being such a lovely audience. I'd like to invite Mr. Froggett, Mr. Mack, and Mr. Hope to come up and join me for one song up here. So thanks again to everybody at the CBC, all the engineers, to Sean, the house engineer, and good luck with everything. Hope to see you down the road somewhere.
There must be some way out of here. This is the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion here. Like a melody. Business can be free by a while. It can be my earth. But not in no longer. No one, any of this is worthy of. No reason to get excited. Feet unexposed. Let's stay here on the promise now. Leave the life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that. And this is not a fair. So let us not talk false down. Because the hour it's getting. Tower. The faces get the view. While the women came away, barefoot Sylvan's food. Outside in the cold, cold streets, the wild hunted crowd. To and fro for a change. Some way out of here. To the Joker, to the thief. There's too much confusion here. I can get no relief. All on the watchtower. The princess kept the view. While the women came back. Barefoot to the stew. Outside in the cold, cold streets, wild and proud, you and me were approaching. Let's go. We'll be right back.
to save it from myself. Oh, you save it from myself, baby.
How much fun was that? Now if we could just go back and have as much fun in studio with my pal Ricky. You know, I am very much missing my Ricky here. How I wish my CBC folks would be walking the runways as well as walking the red carpet with me, as it is BC Fashion Week from September 27th to October 2nd. And of course, it is the start of the annual Vancouver International Film Festival with a lot of gala dues starting this week. And my goodness, with all the exercise my CBC folks have been getting during this lockout, they would just look ravishing, whether it's the runway or red carpet. And unfortunately, they're not going to be there, but I'm going to do my best to report it here on CBC Unplugged. Thanks to all my CBC friends who have helped put this together. Thank you for making me sound as silly as possible. I always appreciate that. Well, actually, I do that all by myself. And again, if you want to tune in, 88.3. Better yet, come on by and say hi. For CBC Unplugged, I'm Fred Lee.